You might like to turn, excuse me, in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart before you again, thanking you for what you do, Spirit of God, to honor our Lord, God, to honor thy word, and in all of it, Father, for you to be honored. That's what it's all about. God, take care and help us. And we'll thank you in every way, even now, in Christ's name, amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you would recall, as we did up to there, as you read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you come to the statement in verse 14, 9 and 14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. The word grace, the exceeding grace of God in you. Grace in you. Now, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And the word thanks is the same word as grace. Only now it isn't God moving in our direction. It's us responding to God's grace that comes to us, and we're it bouncing back to God, and it's translated, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you. Now, exceeding grace of God, G-O-D, in the believing heart. Thanks be unto God, now, for that, for his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable means indescribable, inexpressible, too overwhelming, too big, too much, no way in word or by words to describe it. It's undescribable. We don't know how to handle it. It's such a huge gift beyond our capacity to handle it. What is that gift? It is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ that brings God into the human heart. It is God's purpose and design that he be the center of his creation. He created us for his glory. And God made us in his image and likeness so that when God looked at his creation, he would see himself reflected in a most unique and marvelous way. Now, the unspeakable gift for us believers. Now, we need to understand that gift a little better. Now, in doing so, we're going to put a number of pieces in front of you. They all go together. They all fit snugly, harmoniously in order. It's a wonderful picture, if you can just see it. God has to help us. But I'm going to build it as best I can this morning and then again tonight. Tonight is where I can do it, but I have to lay the foundation. Now, if I can, here's the thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, this free gift that God gives. Over, if you would please, in Ephesians. Ephesians and chapter 4. The Lord Jesus, I'll say it and then we'll look at it. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's gift. A gift. Hang on to that. God, gift. God gives gift, the gift. Now you have to understand, and I hope God help us, to see the fullness of this. Chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace, there's your little word, according to the standard, according to the measure, the word measure, how much? God has given us grace according to how much? According to the gift, the free gift of Christ. God has given us something wonderfully, and it's located in Christ. Hang on. And over in, if you would, in chapter 1 of Ephesians. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, going directly to verse 22, I'm after driving home a word, gave, important. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. God hath put all things under His, that's Christ's feet, and gave Him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church. He's the head. And here we are, the body, verse 23, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Here we are, and we're under the wonderful headship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the headship means the whole body, your whole body, every part of your body, by spinal cord and all of it, responds to where? Not your foot. It responds to your head. Christ is the head. He's the head. And God gave Him as a gift. Here we are sitting assembled together, which is the word church. Church is the word assemble, an assembled body of people, believers. Here we are. Now, God, You're the head. That's right. You're the head, and You gave that. You gave it. Now, remember, when you go and take, well, I could say it. Why not turn to keep you awake? John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, picking up that again, verse 12, but as many as received him to them gave gift, He the power, the right, the authority to become sons or children of God, even to them that believe in His name. God, we have it in John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. Gave. Now, if you would, in the light of that, and in verse 14, while you're right here, the Word became, chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the grace of God. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is full of grace and truth, and He's given us, You've given us Christ, full of grace and truth. You've given us Him. And, sliding down to verse 16, and of His fullness have all we received grace for in place of grace. Grace in place of grace in place of grace. Never-ending flow of grace in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, And so the privilege of receiving that gift, that wonderful gift, requires and looks for what? Over to Romans and chapter 3. Romans and chapter 3. May I pick up, please, in verse 23. You know it, I'm just looking though. For all have sinned and come short, missed the mark of the glory of God. They missed the glory of God. They missed it. Where is the glory of God found? For us. Now, chapter 6, death. We don't know life. We know all about being dead. That means we have no actual, functional, real relationship to God. We're dead in trespasses and sin. Now, Romans 6 and 23. For the wages of sin is death. So we got that part. Now, there's no question, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Cleanse? Get cleansed? How do you clean yourself? How do you get rid of sin? How are you going to get rid of it? Do, come, go, be. Get rid of sin. How are you going to do it? You can't do it. The only way is death. The only way is death. Now, so, verse 23, chapter 6. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, G-I-F-T, of God is eternal life. And where is that eternal life found? Through or in Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift is located in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. Chapter 6. And in verse 7, we were there in the annual meeting. Chapter 6 and verse 7. For he that is dead, the only way to fix sin is death. He that is dead is freed from sin. Freed from sin. To bring forth, freed has to do with being justified, acquitted, to be given acquittal, to be made righteous. He that is declared righteous is free from sin. He isn't dead anymore. He's alive. He's justified. He has been acquitted. For he that is dead is acquitted, free from sin. Because the wages of sin is death. Death has to be paid. The price has to be paid. And the cost of that price sets us free so that we are able to be, the price is paid, death, so that we can be acquitted, not guilty, as it were. Now, having said that little bit, since and death and the wages of sin is death, and it must, as we said, the price must be paid in order to restore, in order to renew God's wonderful purpose in creating humans in the first place. And that's going to come out special in a little bit, because it's very special the way he's demonstrating this to the whole world, which you know. Now, so having said that, while you're in Romans chapter 5, and you will note, verse 5, speaking of justification, declared righteous, righteousness is required in order to get saved. Romans 5 and verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, the wages of sin is death. Adam sinned, Adam died, everyone in Adam died. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So not only do we inherit Adam, we're from Adam, but then our old nature sins all over the place, word, thought, and deed. So where sin is by choice, by practice, to add to all of it. So now, in the light of that, you know in Genesis 3, I don't have to turn there, Genesis 2:17, the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Short Hebrew, surely you will die. Dying, you are going to die. Spiritually, you're going to die. Physically, and etc. Now, having said that, and thus God provided a wonderful, wonderful solution, as we mentioned in Sunday school, mentioned that God, the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, God made a promise to Adam and Eve that God had a wonderful solution in his mind in the first place for all of this, sin and death. And the solution is in the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, over if you would please, to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. May I go directly pick up the context on the resurrection? Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, pitiable. We're the objects of pity. But, verse 20, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man, we just read it, Romans 5:12, by Adam, for since by man came death, the wages of sin is death, by man came also the resurrection of life. That's the last Adam. Just turn the page. Go to verse 45. 15 and 45. As it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, a life-giving spirit. Now, back over to chapter 15 and in verse 21. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of life. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Wow. God, you made it possible in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the earth. You made it possible. You did something so that you didn't do anything that's going to mess up your wonderful person that lasts forever. Nothing's going to mess you up. So when you allowed the angels, devil sinned, and humans were created, and human sin, you understood, you had all of that in mind in order to demonstrate you're a wonderful person. And nothing, when it's all done, nothing can exist anywhere in you that's sin, that isn't right. Nothing. Hang on. Now, so God, here we are looking, and in the light of that, you have made, by way of our Lord Jesus Christ and his saving grace, you have given us wonderful life. Now, over if you would please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. And you will note verse 1:29, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. So, there's nothing you or I, anyone is going to do in word, thought, or deed at any time to glory. There's nothing to be glorify God. God gave the unspeakable gift so there could be glory. But in and of ourselves, there's nothing to glory about. Verse 30. But it isn't going to be in yourself or any one person. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him, God, God, again, you are you, believers, in Christ Jesus, who of God is made to become, to exist, to come into existence, who is made into God. What did you make Christ? You did something, yes. Make God is made to become into existence unto us, made unto us, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. God, you did this to us in a most wonderful way, God. And it's in Christ, God, you made something happen. And it isn't something that you're going to do for us. It's something you give us. Where is it found? In His Son. What is found in His Son, in this unspeakable gift? Verse 30, righteousness and wisdom and sanctification and redemption. Where is it found? In Him. You don't do a thing. It's a gift. A gift in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. You don't do it. You don't work up wisdom and work up this and work up that and you got to get it all. No, you don't. Never happen. In the flesh cannot please God. God has given it. It's impossible for us, but God has given it to us as a gift. And thus, verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, the word glory is the word to boast, a little different word. If you want to talk about something about yourself, don't. If you're a believer, God has taken care of all about you. The wages of sin is what? Death. Forget that. God has given you something, a gift, in His Son. When He gave you His Son, He gave you all of this. If you're going to boast, if you want to talk and brag, point to Him. To Him. He gets all the glory. That's right. Not you, not me. He does. Wow. Wow. Now, and He is the source. It comes to existence to make it exist. Now, over to chapter 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And if I may add to that, 2 Corinthians 5, going directly to verse 21. For He, God, hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us, who, Christ, knew no sin. The reason, why are you letting Him go to the... He's taking our place. He becomes the punishment and the penalty of sin is on Him. The wages of sin is death. That God, He becomes sin, and thus the penalty is paid. He dies for our sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, where are we going to get? The righteousness is going to come from God and God alone. He makes it all possible. No other way for it to come into existence. God does it wonderfully. And in the process, it is God's doing, and we, again, did nothing. It is all God doing all the way. It's a gift. It's a unexplainable, beyond anything we could understand, that God would give us the benefits of His wonderful person in His Son as a gift. As a gift. No. We did nothing for it whatsoever. Christ died. He died for all. And thus, from your birth, as we did in Sunday school, here you are born out from the mother's womb, and here's your death way over here, born, die, like a little cemetery with a stone. Born, died. God, what did you do? Now, all of that, the wages of sin is death. And God, you in your most wonderful way took everything about you, about us, all the way to our death. God, you did that. Flesh cannot glory in your presence, but you created us in your image and likeness to be able to know you in a most unique, special way. Now, how can we ever do it, God? Well, I'm going to do it in my Son. I'm going to, I don't want to get ahead of myself, going to do it in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I'm going to make possible something that's impossible. It isn't going to be anything of the flesh. It's going to be all about my grace and my mercy that I'm going to do it. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God, you're going to go and set us apart in your unique way. So God, here we are, and you're going to go and do something wonderful for us. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. It's going to be wonderful. Now, over to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And may I pick up context, verse chapter 7, verse 15. And it is yet far more evident, clear, for that after the similitude, the likeness of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a fleshly carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is that important? Because the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. The gift. You shall never perish. Never perish. A relationship to you, Lord, and you have made it possible. Because you want, like Aaron or the sons of Aaron that all died, you are the wonderful pre-incarnate Son of God. And God, what have you done? Well, what I've done is I have gone and given you eternal life. As long as I'm around, you're around. The power of an endless life. Adam, all of those, all the way down the line, from Moses all the way down, Aaron and all of them, they have to keep doing something over and over. But Hebrews 10, you don't have to anymore. Because I have done something for you, and I've given it to you as a gift, a wonderful gift. I've given you the power of an endless life, the dynamic, the dynamo, the wonderment of an endless life. And to boot, when the church is born in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, Acts 1, 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. My witnesses. Ah, about what? For my gift. I've given you my Son. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift that I've given you. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, back over, if you would, to Romans chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6. And if I may, Romans 6, picking up, please, in verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, identification. Christ died, he took us when he went to the cross, he died for you. He took you there. The only reason he went to the cross is because of you and me. We had to pay the wages of sin is death. He was made sin for us, punishment, penalty. He had to go to the cross. He had to go to the cross for all humanity. He didn't die the sin. I'll die for the sin of this side and not the sin of this side. He must die because we're all from the same line. We all came from Adam. When he dies for Adam, he dies for everyone in Adam. Everyone. So God, so when Christ, he died for us, he was risen again. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk, what? In newness of life. A whole new thing. That's a gift. For if you have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin, which we live in, might be destroyed and made inactive, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. God, you did something wonderful for us. You took us in your wonderful way, you've finished it all, and in your wonderful eternal timelessness, you went and entered and made and had occur an historic event. You had to be born, die, resurrected in the middle of time. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, God, so we have your work, it's all, you died, you're the one. You were buried, you rose again. That's the gospel. The gospel, the good news. Now, and you've given us your word. So you, the gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one that did the whole thing, death, burial, and resurrection. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us his word, the Bible. And so that God, when we open the Bible, God's word, what do we know? Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which what? They speak of me. Luke 24:27-44. All the scriptures, prophets, psalms, everybody, in any page, it's all about me. About you. About me, God, because of you. So as you turn the pages, it's about him, about us. Now, humans. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, Romans chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. And you will note in Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read the end of verse, chapter 7, verse 24. 7:24. Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So I got the problem of a sin nature. And the flesh can never please God. That's the law. It's a rule. It's what it is. Bad is bad. Bad is bad is bad. It's always bad. So with that, that's one law. So how am I going to overcome that? There's a law like that. I can't overcome it. In me dwelleth no good thing. I can't win. I'll never get it. Never get off the ground. But verse 25, so with the mind I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. So you understand, what do you understand, Paul? Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2, in the light of verse 25. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Where is that law located? It's in Christ. For the law has made me free from the law of sin and death. So God, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get free? My wages of sin is death. This is the law. I can't never get it right. It's never going to come out good. All my efforts, the very best, the very mostest, everything about my life, from day one to the day I die, there's nothing there. It's all a law. I can never rise above it. I can never get beyond it. Death, the absence of life. But God, what have you given? You have given the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's where it's located. And that law, the Spirit of life, God requires. It's a gift. It's a gift. The wages of sin is death. It's a gift. A wonderful, wonderful gift God gives us. Now, so it's a law. It's a law. Now, here we are. God, now how are we going to get past the law of the flesh? Because it isn't going to do any good if we are the nicest people or we're the worstest people. We do everything bad or everything good. It ain't going to come out. It isn't going to come out. Nope. You know, God, I got to have another law. That's right. And the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus, it's a gift. God has given you wonderful, wonderful life. Wonderful life in the person of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make that happen. Remember Romans 8, without reading it all, 9, 10, and 11. To make it happen. So God, you gave it to us. It's a gift. Now, and we mentioned it in Sunday school, or mentioned an illustration that we could use again. The law of gravity is in effect on every one of you. No matter what you want to do, you can't overcome the law of gravity. Not one of you can do that. You are all stuck, earthbound. Now, you can jump up in the air. Maybe you can jump a hole, whatever. But boy, you're coming down. When you try to jump up in your self-effort, you're coming down. Gravity has hold. And the law of gravity is practiced, we're all objects to enjoy the law of gravity. The law of gravity just does what it does. And the law of Christ, you don't use the law of Christ, life of Christ, He uses you. The life you have is a gift, like gravity. And you don't work at it, I got to get life, I got to do this, I got to... No. Never happen. No flesh or glory in His presence. Never happen. God, what have we got to do? It's not for us to use being saved, because it's a gift. And God, where did you provide it? In a wonderful person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So life, it's there, right now, right now. I know you feel it so much. Anyway, it's right now. You don't have to do a thing except thank God for it and use it. Let it happen. Gravity, you don't go around making gravity work. You let gravity work. We step down, we step up. We let it work. What are we going to do? Whatever you eat or drink, do to the glory of God, do it. Let it work. You don't make it work. It is there to work. It's a gift. Do you understand? It's a gift. So when we start going and trying to achieve and accomplish and make things happen, that's us. And we didn't realize God has already given that as a gift. So please don't help Him. Just enjoy the gift. The unspeakable gift. Unspeakable indeed. And we haven't even touched the surface yet. Wow. Go with me over, if you would, to Colossians. Colossians in chapter 3. When you come to Romans and all of that, all of those epistles, we're looking at them. You know what they're all about? Read them again. Good to read. They're all about this relationship that we're trying to remind ourselves of, that it isn't anything about us. There's nothing about us to offer. God has given it in His Son as a gift. Already. You don't work in it. You just thank God for it and outwork it. Wow. Colossians chapter 3. I'll read verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, 3:1 Colossians. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For a reason, don't get hung up with the earthly material stuff. Don't get caught up in it to miss out on the heavenly, the wonderful benefits. You can enjoy, I'm going to work on my humanness, my senses, touch, taste, feel, and all of that. And I'm going to have all of those things and work it. That's what the world wants us to do. And when we do that, we're looking and drawing the world in to try to have a reason for existence and pleasure and some kind of satisfaction for being alive. And we lose out. For the wages of sin is death. God, you have done something wonderful for us, and you have provided it in Christ. Chapter 3, verse 3. For you are dead. That's the whole issue. You got to die. Don't get cleansed. You aren't going to be nicer and better, etc. It isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen in this life. People do it all over the place. It ain't going to save you for nothing. Wow. God, you are dead. D-E-A-D. That's what your wages of sin is, death. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. God, you're going to do all of that. Uh-huh, I am. And God, you're going to make all of that happen to your honor and your glory. Now, and in the light of that, we'll close, back over to Romans chapter 6. Hope you got a little bit. It has to lock in. Romans chapter 6. We read verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now slide down, and sliding down to verse 8, I guess. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So therefore, we have a wonderful Savior who took us to the cross, and he rose again and provided a wonderful life. Therefore, verse 11, reckon, calculate, compute ye also yourselves to be dead, dead indeed unto sin, but on the contrary, alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God, and when we're alive, what are we going to do? We're going to have the wonder. I am alive. I am saved. I am a sinner saved by grace. I am a son. I'm a child of God. I need to know it. And then all the benefits are mine. Because that's what he was looking for. Do you understand the relationship? I have given you everything. Forever. in my Son, in Christ. It's a gift. It's yours. You don't try to produce it, work at it. Think of even the fruit of the Spirit of God, Galatians 5 and 22. The love, joy, peace. Is that your love? Is that your love and joy? Is that your peace and power? No, it's His. It's His. It's always His. Nothing to do with us. So when we're busy trying to achieve and get, and it's already done. And all we can do is receive it. You can reject it or receive it. What's the world doing? The world's looking around. Is Jesus Christ God? Not to see how good we are or bad we are. What are you doing, Lord? I've come to live my life in you. Not your life, my life. So that when the world looks, they're going to see me in you. Because that's the only sign I'm going to give until the Lord, until I come, is the sign of the prophet Jonah. As he was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So shall the Son of Man be, and rise again. And the only evidence that I'm going to say to anybody, anywhere, see an empty tomb, see a risen Christ, and look at my people, and you'll see me. It's all about me, Christ Jesus our Lord. There's another part of this. That's the better part, if there's better. Now you all may wake up. No. We're going to pray. I hope you got a little bit. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, we get it all. We miss it. We lose it. We don't understand what has happened. God, you have done something in your mercy. In your magnificence, you have done something wonderful for us. You have given us yourself in your Son. And all our human inheritance in the flesh is but dung, is waste. But God, you have given us a wonderful inheritance. To be found as heirs and joint heirs with you. It's all wondrous, God. Beyond, so it isn't anything we're going to achieve or work at or produce. God, it's something that's already ours. In you. Christ Jesus our Lord. God, thank you for all of it. Help us inch by inch, and we'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.